Well, now that was really good. Today is a very special day. We will get more into some of the beauty of the chimes and the firemen being here, but as you've noticed, we are doing something a little different today. One, we're celebrating people in our midst, the first responders, who in a selfless way care about their community. And it's so fitting that a church should do that, because if you think for a moment about Christianity, you think about Jesus Christ, in a selfless way, he laid down his life for his fellow man. He was God who gave himself selflessly. And so we're here to celebrate this morning the dedication of our chimes in memory of Garrett and Gary Vandershaft. We're here this morning to celebrate the first responders, the Circleville Fire Department. My understanding is that 1947 is when it was founded. And at first, when we thought we were going to remember the deceased firemen, we were going to read all their names. You know, we thought, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. Well, there was over 120 names of men and women who have given their lives to this community, who have said, you know what, this is a place that I cherish, and my neighbors who I might not even know, I cherish them. So this morning is a very special day. We have some other announcements that I'm going to go through rather quickly. The first Sunday of each month is our Mission Sunday. And normally we have a speaker who will share a little bit, but because we have so much going on in the service, I'm going to share just a little bit to expedite things a little bit. One of the things that we support as individual mission projects is a project in Haiti called Mission of Hope for Haiti. And if you've been paying attention to the news, in Haiti right now, a lot of unrest. Not quite 10 years ago, 300,000 people died in the earthquakes. And, I mean, if you would think about something like that happening in the United States, a much larger piece of land and a larger population, it would be devastating. Well, they have not recovered from that. And not only have they not recovered from that, but their political system is corrupt and falling apart, and people are hungry. There is not fuel to transport food from one place to another. Children are starving. And this is not that far away from where we are. So we used to think, way over in Africa, way over in China, way on the other side of the world. But this is happening in our own back door, in our own backyard. And so we lift up Haiti. We pray for Haiti. Sharon Frost, who is here, is a member of our church who travels to Haiti a few times a year to encourage and to bring supplies and to help. So this morning I want you to realize that even though it's not our Mission Sunday where we're going to have slides and a speaker, we're going to still remember the fact that there are people who are our neighbors, maybe not in Circleville, but our neighbors who need us desperately. Right after church this morning, there is a large spread of food, so please don't run away, otherwise I'm going to have to eat it all. There is a large spread of food for coffee and fellowship. Even if you have plans, stay for 10 minutes. Shake the hand of one of the firemen, fire ladies, who serve us, who take care of us, and get to know them and say thank you. Say thank you for your heart. Thank you for your service. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, if anybody is interested, things kind of all meld together. Our first responders care about life. Well, the life chain is reminding us that all life, from the moment of conception to the moment of death, is precious in God's sight. And so there's going to be individuals who are going to just quietly line up on the side and stand and pray. And pray that our country is reminded that life is to be cherished. That's 2 o'clock this afternoon on Route 211. This Friday is our youth and young adults program. And so if there's anybody who has junior high through young adults and would love to have a night of fun and games and challenging worship and a bonfire, very safe, by the way, that will be up on the hill. We'll get together this Friday at 7 o'clock. On Saturday is the Historical Association at 2 o'clock here. And next Sunday before church is the deacons meeting at 9 o'clock. One last announcement. Next week is our Communion Sunday. And there is no right or wrong, meaning, do you do communion every day? Do you do communion once a week? Do you do it once a month? We do it once a month for the idea of making sure that it's special, that it doesn't become empty. I remember one of my sons telling me when I said, I love you, a number of years ago, yeah, you always say that. No, I mean that. Well, communion is something special, and next week we celebrate that. If you care to come and join us, we invite you. It is for anyone who claims Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is a reminder that the body of Christ is much bigger than these four walls, and that He died that we might live. So before we go any further in the service, we're just going to pause for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are here, first and foremost, to worship You. On the throne of our lives is not this country, is not the civil servants, is not the leadership of this church. On the throne of our lives should be our Creator God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's why we're here. But Lord, You've given to us so many wonderful gifts. You've given to us this nation and this community and these firemen. Lord, help us to cherish the gifts that You've given to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. At this time, I'd like to ask Kevin to come forward because he'll be leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And Kevin, I don't know your last name.
Holland?
Holland, that's a good last name. I'm Dutch.
Me too.
Oh, yo, I like it.
We're all set up for you.
Thank you, sir.
Dear Lord, Father, as we meet this morning, thank You for watching and directing our firefighters, police, and EMS people for their safe journeys this past year. Father, thank You for our military in all parts of the world, for the actions in keeping us all safe as we go about our daily activities. Father, thank You for bringing all the fine people in this church together to dedicate the chimes in the remembrance of two great firemen who dedicated their lives to the community of Circleville. Garrett and Gary Vandershaft was dedicated to the safety and well-being of the residents of the Circleville area. Their memories will not be forgotten. As the fire siren sounds every noon to tell us that it is lunchtime, let the chime sound every night at 6 p.m. to tell us that it is the end of the workday, and encourage everybody to sit down and take nourishment and thank the Lord for all that was accomplished this day. Thank You, dear Lord, for the understanding and watchful eye as we continue forward in our busy lives. In God's name we pray. Amen. Everybody stay safe and healthy.
I'd like to ask that you please be seated, and we're going to be singing a video tribute to our first responders. don't know that I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask if you please stand. The firemen. These are the men and ladies of this community. And we realize that there are volunteer and professional firemen all over this country. And they care about you. I'm also going to ask if there's anybody in here who has been a fireman or an EMS, a police officer, if you would also please stand. We're going to pause for a moment and pray that God keeps you safe, and also thank God that God has placed you in our lives. Father in heaven, we give you glory and praise because you have touched the hearts of these men and women to care about strangers in the palm of your hand. Lord, hold them safe. Hold them in the palm of your hand. Let them know, Lord, that you are the King of all the universe and that you care about them. Lord, thank you that they serve us with a selflessness that you modeled on the cross, that they care about us even though they might not know our names. Lord, hold them safe every time they are called to duty. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I had mentioned that there are so many names that we can't read them, but in your bulletin there is a list of all of the deceased firemen from Circleville. And what was mentioned a little bit in the invocation, I would like to bring back to clarity a little more. The firemen may or may not know this, but about 2 years ago, the church set aside the idea that every time we hear a siren, not just from Circleville, but an ambulance going by, car, or we find ourselves in Middletown and we hear a siren, that is a call. It is a call to prayer. That if we are believers in God, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, if we believe that the Holy Spirit is real, which we do, that when we hear that siren, no matter what we are doing, we stop for a moment and we say, Lord, be with those first responders. Hold them safe and watch over those they go to serve. Now, I have to tell you, my main job where I make a living is I work at Stewart's. And I'm standing at a register, and all of a sudden the sirens go, and I break into a little prayer. It's created a number of interesting conversations with customers who are getting ice cream or coffee. But they're good conversations. I have not had one person yet say, well, that's inappropriate. If anything, I've had them say, wow, I've never thought of the siren that way. Well, the congregation may not be fully aware of this, especially the visitors. It's our firemen who helped raise the funds for the chimes, for the bells that will be sounding from the tower for the first time officially today. Just as that fire siren calls you to service and calls us to prayer, it is our hope that the chimes will call the community to remember as well. To remember that each one of us are in the hands of a sovereign God who loves us and cares for us. It's very fitting that our church is doing this. I found out that Clarence Bergman, who's passed away long ago, I actually never met the man. I know his son, Bruce. He was the first chief of the fire department, and he was a member of our church. And then Garrett, being a chaplain, and the jokes still abound about Garrett walking from his house to the loan closet and caring about people with hospital equipment, that there's a little trail in the grass that has never grown back. And Gary, his son, who was a chief, and apparently his grandson Scott as well. You know what? There's something about family, and that's what God calls us, the family of God. Now, years ago, this church used to invite the firemen every year. And I kind of think October 6th today is the beginning of Fire Prevention Week. Well, that invitation is going to start again. Once a year, we would like to celebrate our firemen and our first responders with a service of remembrance and a service of honor to remember that our God is good with the people that he places in our lives. So, for the first time officially, we're going to pause for a moment of silence and hear the bells. And there'll be bells that are a little somber at the moment because we're remembering all those first responders who've passed away. Father, help us to remember that these men and women are not forgotten, that their legacy is a reminder to us to serve one another in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Something that I thought would be of interest, especially to our firemen. Every funeral that I've been to of a firefighter, I've heard this prayer, and I've always heard that it was unknown, the author. And that's not really true. The author did not put his name to it because he wanted to do something out of the character of a fireman, and that was being selfless. But I'm going to do a spoiler alert and tell you his name. His nickname was Smokey, or Smokin, and his name was A.W. Lynn. And this is the fireman's prayer. When I am called to duty, God, wherever flames may rage, give me strength to save a life, whatever be its age. Help me embrace a little child before it's too late, or save an old person from the horror of that fate. Enable me to be alert and hear the weakest shout quickly and efficiently to put the fire out. I want to fulfill my calling, to give the best in me, to guard my friend and neighbor, and protect his property. And if, according to your will, I must answer death's call, bless with your protecting hand my family, one and all. Twice a day, the chimes outside will ring. First to say how many hours, 12 and 6. And then after that, there'll be a song that'll play. And there are so many songs, just as there are so many people here today. And each person has their own life story, and each song, each hymn has its own story. So I challenge you as you are in Circleville shopping or getting your hair cut or stopping at the pizza parlor, when that sound goes off, listen to the uniqueness of each of those hymns. If you know the words, let them fill your heart. And remember, our first responders who are selfless, but also be reminded of the one who was truly selfless, Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm going to ask if you could please stand with me as we do our call to worship together. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. How does our God, our rescuing God, answer our cry? Together we say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In believing this, our lives are changed. And so we say with courage and conviction, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Our first song this morning of praise is Your Grace is Enough. God's riches at Christ's expense. Please be seated. Have you ever thought of that? Scripture tells us that God knows the number of hairs upon our head. He knows the days that we will live. Did you ever think that while Jesus was on the cross, he thought of you? He knew your name. He knew you by name. Before you were even created in your mother's womb, he knew you. He called out to you with outstretched arms to say, I love you. And just as our first responders are willing to lay down their lives, he did lay down his life that we might live. He thought of you above all. Father in heaven, as we read your holy, written, and inspired word, we ask for the leading of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you pour yourself out into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds, and prepare us to hear your word, to be changed by your word, but not just words, Lord. Changed in a relationship with you, an intimate relationship with the God of all the universe. Lord, that is what we seek. That is what we hunger for. That is what we thirst for. And that is what you desire as well. So as we look into your word, Lord, help it to change who we are. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In your pew Bibles, there is a very, very small book. And someone, when they were looking at the bulletin this week, said, wow, you're reading an awful lot of chapters. No, it's verses, because there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. If you care to follow along, it's found on page 1309 in your pew Bibles. And even though it says that I'll be starting at verse 7, I'm really starting at verse 17. Hear the word of God. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions and worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up into the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. What's the first part of that passage? Well, the first part is kind of a reminder. It's a reminder of what the early church, the apostles, those who walked and talked with Jesus, those who sat down and had a meal with him, those who knew God in an intimate way, a way I could only hope to know God, a way that you could only hope to know God, physically seeing Jesus face to face and hearing his voice. They warned the church about something. They warned us about something. They warned that there would be a time when the world around us would be pressing in and saying, no, no. I want you to think for a moment again about our firemen. From what I'm hearing, it's getting harder and harder to get volunteers. From what I am hearing, that the idea of a volunteer fireman is not as easy to sell anymore as what it used to be. Our culture is changing. Our culture is all about me. Now, we can entice some volunteers by, well, we'll give you some medical benefits, and we'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll do this. And And that's good. We owe that to our volunteers. Please don't misunderstand me. But years ago, when there were no perks, there was only struggles and sacrifice, people stepped forward and said, I want to serve. And today it's getting harder and harder to do that. Why? Our culture is filled with scoffers. What is a scoffer? Someone who kind of makes fun of a selflessness. Someone who makes fun of God's way of doing things. You see, think about it for a moment. God didn't need to do what God did. God did not need to die on a cross to save us. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane did not drops of blood and experience pain and suffering. He got on his knees and sweat drops of blood and cried out to his Father in heaven, if there's any other way, please, I don't want to do this, but your will be done, not mine. I lay down my life, not because they're taking it from me. Jesus said, as the Son of Man, I lay it down willingly. He volunteered. And our world says, stupid, silly, dumb. You need to be in this for yourself. Does it look good on your resume? For college or for a job? You know, what are the perks? What do you get out of it? That was not God's mentality, and thank God for that. Because if it was, salvation would not be ours. Grace would not be at Christ's expense. Quite honestly, hell would be at my expense and yours. So right away, we are hearing in God's word that there's going to be a time when the world closes in and wants us to think something different, and it's already happening. And our firemen know that all too well, and our EMS workers and our police officers know that all too well. People are not stepping up to the plate like they used to for the right reasons. I grew up in a little town. It was a mile square in Midland Park, New Jersey. And in this town, there was lots and lots of churches. There were 7 churches in a mile square town. Unfortunately, they didn't all talk to each other nicely, and that's sad, as the body of Christ. And I remember as a young man around 17, 18 years old, I was already involved with youth ministry and young people and things like that, and we were having a youth group meeting at the church, which was only a block away from one of the schools, and we could see, why don't we go, billowing smoke. And we said, you know what? Why don't we go over there and pray for what's going on? It's a Sunday night. Church is now done. We're going to walk over there with the young people. And there was about 15, 20 of us. And we walk over there. And somebody at the school had lit the tire pyramid on fire. And that's black smoke. Now, some of the firemen were wonderful. They were there for the right reasons, and they were doing their job, and they were coordinating because everybody from the whole area was coming to see this. And they're looking at us, and they're talking to us, and one of them says, well, what are you guys doing here? And told him what we were doing, and we were going to pray for them. And he's like, oh, that's great. Awesome. Thank you. We need all the prayers we can get. And that fireman was concerned about our safety. He told us where to stand. Was grateful for our support. There was another fireman who I had some previous dealings with. See, these young people that were in the youth group played baseball, and this one gentleman was a coach of a baseball team, and he was all about the win. And about 2 months previous, I went up to watch the baseball game, and I had kids on both teams. Now, how do you root for one and not the other? So I rooted for both. And so I'm on the sidelines, and when this group is up, I'm like, you can do it, you can do it. And when they're going to, ball goes out, you can catch it, you can catch it. And people are like, you're weird, because I'm voting for both teams. It's not about the win. Well, this coach, who was a fireman, was very angry that I was rooting for both teams. And he comes over by me and tells me to be quiet and starts using foul language. And I'm like, whoa, 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 you got kids here. What are you doing? And I was not maybe as dignified as hopefully I am today. And I didn't say naughty words to him, but I was like, and you call yourself an adult? And you call yourself a leader? You ought to step down from being a coach if this is the way you're going to act in front of the kids. And I really gave it to him. Parents later on thanked me, but I probably was less diplomatic than I should have been. We'll fast forward back to the fire now. This fireman sees me and sees the kids, comes over and starts screaming at me. You need to be 3 miles away from the fire. The town is a mile square. I have the authority to tell you to do this. And it's probably one of your kids who started. He was there for the wrong reason. He was there for the wrong reason. The other gentleman was there for the right reason. The world, the scoffers, the worldly desires of me-ism is creeping in. Not just to the fire department or the police department or the EMS, the ambulance corps, but in the church too. In the church it's happening too. Culture, the me-ism, humanism. Right from the beginning, Jesus warned his disciples and as the apostles warned us and said, look out, be on guard. And then Scripture goes on. Scripture says, you know what? Do this instead. Build yourselves up in your faith. Pray. Do you know what prayer is? Prayer is having an intimate conversation with God. Prayer is not just, I want this and I want this. It's not some Christmas list for Santa. That's not prayer. Prayer is an intimate conversation, a relationship with God Almighty, speaking and listening, walking and talking with your God. You and I have had friends where all they do is do the talking. It's a one-way friendship, and it's draining. Now, fortunately, God can never be drained. But God wants that relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you that goes both ways, where we cry out to him, where we praise him, where we ask things from him, because he's a good and loving father who wants to give us the desires of our heart as long as they're good for us, as long as they're good for our community. Just because a child wants to have all kinds of sugar and candy for dinner, that doesn't mean they're going to get it. A little bit's okay. Lord, I want this, I want that, I want this. Our loving father listens to what we want, but provides for us what's good. That's even scary. I know it's not the politically correct thing to do today, but discipline. A parent should discipline their children. Have you ever met children who were not disciplined? I know a couple. Some were mine, maybe. I hear some giggles up top. My kids are up there. And they'll say, no, no, we were disciplined. Reality, think about your God for a moment. If he truly loves you, which he does, might not discipline be something that should be in your life? That he sets life circumstances in your life and in the life of a town, in the life of a county, in the life of a country to get them back on the right track? All candy and sugar and cake does not do that. Pray. Don't let what the world and the worldly desires come into the church, come into the fire department, come into our lives. Instead, push that out. Get back involved in faith. Get back involved in an intimate relationship with God. But realize what that intimate relationship entails. It's not, oh, it's all about me. Lord, I want this and I want... No. It's speaking to and listening to. It's crying out and receiving. Because God is real. And he loves you. And then the writer goes on to talk about snatching others out of the fire. That's why I picked the verse, because it has to do with fire. But think about what that means. As believers in Jesus Christ, it is our job, it is our goal, it is our heart's desire, it should be our passion to snatch people out of fire. It doesn't say, sit there and say, come on. If you go to a burning home and there's a child in the corner or in a closet hiding because they're afraid of the flames, you, with your gear on, run in there and find that child and grab them and bring them out, because that is not where they're going to stay as long as you can have anything to do with it. Well, don't we as believers in Jesus Christ have even more of a passion than that for the lost? To figure out any way possible to wake up the world, wake up our neighbors, wake up those who we don't even know by name to the truth and the reality that there is a God. Now, I remember in college having someone say to me, well, you believe in all this God stuff, I don't believe in it. You know, and I said, well, maybe you're right. If you're right and I'm wrong, and I die and I just become dirt, you know what? I didn't lose anything. But if I'm right and you're wrong, there's hell to pay. If I'm right and you're wrong, you're in deep trouble. And I'll be honest, I've watched where most lives end up when there is not a moral foundation, when there is not an understanding of a creator God. I've watched where those lives end up. I've watched the scoffers. I've watched the world, and so have you. Even those who call themselves Christians, but they live really more like the world than they do like Christ. Their lives are consumed. There's never enough. Never enough money. Never enough love. Never enough for me. And those who live like Christ say, not my will, but yours be done. My joy, Scripture talked about it right today in this passage that we read. God has joy in his giving and loving, in presenting us before himself, washed, whether we know them or not. God has joy. Should we not have joy when we can go to our neighbors, whether we know them or not, and love them, care for them in a selfless way, and hopefully bring them to a deeper understanding of the God that died for them on the cross, Jesus Christ. If I'm wrong, I become dirt and I didn't lose anything. And if anything, I had a good life that had good meaning to it. If I'm right, I'm walking and talking with my Savior someday along the crystal sea on those streets of gold. I'm sitting at a banquet table for all eternity. And that person who said, well, you might be right, you might be wrong, whatever. That person's in trouble. That person is hiding in the closet while the flames are burning their house down. The title of this morning's message is, Help is on the Way. Hope is on the way. Is it a question or is it a fact? In this community right now, if there was a fire, help would be on the way, and I believe it would be a fact. Because we have people who are dedicated to caring about their neighbors, whether they know them by name or not. Help is on the way. Is it a question or is it a fact? Are your friends and neighbors, whether you know them by name or not, on your heart with a burden to get them out of that dangerous place that they're in, that apathy? That apathy where they don't really care to know. If God is real, my friends, there should be some of us that care deeply. All of us should care deeply about those who do not know him. And there's a promise. The promise is the last part of this passage. The promise is the very last part of the book of Jude. Now to him, to God, to Jesus Christ, who is able. Sometimes you guys might not be able, quite honestly, to save everybody. Whether the equipment doesn't work, or the circumstances, or the fire was too far gone. You guys are only human, and you're doing your best. But he is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you, to have you stand before the mighty God, blameless in the presence of his glory, with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ. This is not some empty spiritualism. This is not some, well, any religion is good. Just get on the right track. If God's word is God's word, then it's God's word. And if God is God, then God is God. And if this is all emptiness, well, I dare say I still have a better life than most of the world around me. But I'm here to share with you this morning the truth and the conviction that the Holy Spirit lives and breathes within the hearts and minds of the body of Christ, his people. I am here to share with you the truth and the conviction that Jesus Christ is God and that he died on the cross that you might live. And I am here to share with you the truth and the conviction that before you were even conceived, God thought of you. And that on the cross, he thought of you. Help has already arrived for those who've accepted and received it. My question is, are you willing to be the help that's on the way for those who still need him? Help is on the way. Hope is on the way. Is it a question? I hope not. I pray not. Or is it a fact? Be the first responders to the world around you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you model for us, you show us, you were the example. And help us to follow that example. Not because we get a perk out of it, but because it brings you glory and honor and praise and majesty, both now and forevermore. Amen. We have a tradition here in Circleville about our time of tithes and offerings. If your heart moves you and you've thought about it ahead of time and with a joyful heart it is your desire to give, then give. But if you feel that there's a compulsion, that people are begging you for money, God is more honored that you keep that wallet in your pocket. God is more honored that you don't give. Why? Because he doesn't need us to accomplish his work. He wants to bless us when we bless others. So if God has laid it upon your heart, fantastic. But give not because it is required. Jesus met the requirements on the cross. Give because it's your heart's desire. The song that will be played, if you would like to sing along, you're welcome to. But it is a beautiful song called The Servant Song. Please stand. Father, we ask now that you receive these gifts that you've already given to us and use them, that a dark and dying world that is drowning, that is burning, would find peace in Christ. Lord, use these gifts that the great healer would bring help to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It is our custom here at Circleville to have a time of prayer where the congregation is encouraged to also pray. And so I'm going to open up with a sentence or so, and then I will be quiet. Most people find that surprising that I can do that. And then it is your turn. Is there someone in your life that you're caring about? We challenged the congregation last week to put two people in their mind, and whether or not you want to do that out loud in this service or in your heart, put two people in your mind that you care about, that you want to be used by God, if God wants you, as an instrument to draw them closer to Him. If there's someone who is sick, someone who is struggling, if you want to say by name or say, Lord, I have an unspoken prayer request, God knows it. So after a few moments when I pray, there'll be a time for the congregation to lift up their prayers, and then I will close. Father in heaven, we come into your presence in our minds, in our hearts, but the truth is, you have never left us. So we are always in your presence. As we come before you right now in a special intentional time to speak with you and to listen to you, we ask that you would move us by the leading of your Spirit to be closer to you. Silence is golden, but not now. Yes, sir. Father in heaven, we continue to pray for Haiti, the unrest that is there, and the innocent individuals who are paying the price, the children who are hungry, and those who just fear for their lives. Lord, we think of our congregation, and we think of Aranka and Lois and Scott and Kami. We thank you for their involvement, and that we think of sisters in Christ. Lord, we think of a little baby who right now is without a parent at all. As during labor, Tony passed away, she had no clue that there'd be any problems. And in Columbia Presbyterian, Lord, this week, there is now a baby without a mom and out of family. No father, no mother. Lord, you know the future, and you have the future in the palm of your hands. We are asking at this time that you would place the right people to love this child. Lord, I think of Pam, the best friend who cared so much about Tony and was so excited about this opportunity to see Tony be a mom, and how her heart breaks, not only the loss of her friend, but that this child has no mom or no dad. Lord, we ask that you would help us as a church to step up and to be like Christ, to be like the firemen, to volunteer, to be willing servants of the God Most High. We praise you, Lord. Lord, I think of James, who is on his way back from the Middle East, and the ship is chugging along, and we have received word that he'll be home, not home, but at least home in the United States right before Thanksgiving. And he reminds us to pray for all of our service men and women who stand on the front lines, who have volunteered to protect and serve us. Lord, we bring these things to you because you are a big God. You're able to handle it. We are not. So in our own personal lives with sons and daughters, husbands and wives, the things that we see that are too big for us, we place them before you. In the politics, those are too town and county and country. Lord, some of those are too big for us. So we place them before you, because nothing is beyond you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Would you please stand as we say the Lord's Prayer together? Together we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning was Garrett's favorite hymn. We've mentioned a number of times that the music from the bell tower and the bells, the chimes, are in memory of Garrett, of Gary, and of our fire department. But you need to know something about Garrett. Garrett loved Jesus Christ with his heart, his soul, and his mind. More than the fire department, sorry. And this song was one of his favorites because of what it says. Not because it has a cute jingle melody, because of the meaning. So as you sing this song, think of Garrett. Think of the songs that will play from the bell tower. But more than that, think of the meaning of this song. My friends, Garrett is there. Gary is there. And they want us to join him. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Please join us for a time of fellowship. Go now in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and know that you are in the hands of a sovereign God, a big God, so big there is nothing beyond him. Go now in peace. Amen.